Continuing our summer series, which we just started on the Psalms, and continuing with Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about the Word of God. The length of the psalm teaches us that God's Word must be very, very important. And it's important for a lot of reasons. In this psalm, numerous words are used for the Word of God. Depending on your translation, they are law, precept, statute, command, commandment, regulation, decree, judgment, word, promise, testimony, instruction, teaching, way, path. These terms reflect different aspects of the Word of God. For example, quite a few of the words emphasize law, keeping the commandments of the Sinai covenant was very important when this psalm was written. But there are other words used to describe the Word of God, like instruction or teaching or way, path, or testimony. The Word of God teaches us, it instructs us, it educates us in the things we really need to know. It's a way or a path leading us to the desired goal. It is a testimony, faithfully testifying to what God wants us to know and do. It's a word or a promise, letting us know the good things God has promised for those who obey His word. The psalm is an acrostic. There are 22 sections based on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The acrostic goes in order, starting with Aleph and ending with Tav. Each of the 22 sections has 8 verses, each of which starts with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So the way this psalm is arranged speaks to us of design. Like nature, God's word has design written all over it. Psalm 119 has 4 main themes: the nature of the Word of God, the benefits that come to us from interacting with the Word of God, the ways we interact with the Word of God, and what God will do to us to help us follow His Word. First, the nature of the Word of God. We covered it last week, so I will only very briefly summarize. The Word of God has a divine origin. It is divinely inspired. It's righteous. It's true. It's trustworthy. It's perfect. It's eternal. That's the nature of the Word of God. Second, the benefits that come to us from interacting with the Word of God, and they are many, and they are tremendous. God's Word produces joy, freedom, holiness, wisdom. God's Word eliminates shame. It helps us discern good from evil, the righteous from the wicked. It protects us from evil. It produces righteous indignation and godly sorrow. It revitalizes us when we are low, depressed, discouraged. It comforts us in our troubles. It produces stability, peace, confidence in dangerous and difficult times. That's what we considered last week. Now we continue with the benefits that come to us by interacting with the Word of God. God's Word has wonderful promises, which produce hope. Verse 114, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Verse 43, do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. Verse 49, remember your promise to me. It is my only hope. If only Princess Leia did not live a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. If only Princess Leia lived in our time and in this world, and instead of knowing the Force, she knew the God of Israel and the Word of God, she would not have said, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you are my only hope. The truth is the Word of God is our only hope. What are some of the promises in the Word of God that produce hope? I am the eternal God. I will be your God and you will be my child. I am there to help you in every situation you will ever encounter. My grace will always be sufficient for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. I have a great inheritance waiting for you. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. You feel hopeless? Nothing good to look forward to? You need to be interacting with the Word of God, filling your mind and heart with God's wonderful and true promises. God's Word has wonderful promises which are designed to produce hope in us. God's Word produces a great worldwide fellowship. Though we have technology that makes connecting with people around the world easier than ever, many people feel lonelier than ever. Social media savvy millennials make up the loneliest generation in America, according to a new survey. 27% of millennials have no close friends, and 22% have no friends at all, 1 out of 5. Not having a friend does not have to be the case, because God's Word produces a great worldwide fellowship. Verse 63, I am a friend to anyone who fears you. Anyone who obeys your commandments. Verse 79, let me be united with all who fear you, with those who know your laws. There is a bond, there is a friendship that exists between those who love the Word of God. They can come from different races, different nations, be richer or poorer or younger or older, doesn't matter. Their shared love for the Word of God creates a bond of friendship between them. You feeling lonely, isolated, without a friend in this world? You need to interact with the Word of God. And you need to get involved with a community of people that loves the Word of God. And you will have brothers and sisters, friends, allies, comrades, now and forever. God's word produces a great worldwide fellowship. God's word helps us by being ruined, helps us from being ruined by love for the world. Because most people do not know God's word, which produces the hope of living forever with God in the world to come, because all most people have is this world, they are consumed with the world and the things of the world. They want more things, nicer things, bigger things, better things. They want more money. They want fame. They want power. That's success. That's happiness. So they spend their lives pursuing the world and the things of the world, which is tragic. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. In contrast to wasting one's life loving the world and the things of the world, we are able to love something far better: the Word of God. Verse 72, your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. 103, how sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. 111, your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. You don't want to waste your life. You don't want to be consumed by the desire for the world or the worthless, temporary things that it offers you. You want to truly be happy, content, truly successful. You need to love the Word of God. Human beings favor those who share the same beliefs and values they do. We are inclined to help them when they need help. God is the same. God's word produces divine favor, which results in divine help. Verse 8, I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. 77, surround me with your tender mercies so I may live. For your instructions are my delight. 86, all your commands are trustworthy. Protect me from those who hunt me down without cause. 94, I am yours. Rescue me, for I have worked hard at obeying your commandments. 153, look upon my suffering and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instructions. 166, I long for your rescue, Lord, so I have obeyed your commands. 173, give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your commandments. God's word produces divine favor, which results in divine help. You want the Lord to favor you, to help you when you really need help? Love and follow His word. Work hard at knowing and obeying His teachings. Let's review the many wonderful benefits that come from the Word of God. God's Word produces joy, freedom, holiness, wisdom, godly anger, and sorrow. It helps us discern good from evil. It protects us from evil. It revitalizes us when we are low, depressed, discouraged. It comforts us in our troubles. It has wonderful promises which produce hope. It produces a great worldwide fellowship, friends, brothers, sisters, comrades. It prevents us from being ruined by the desire for the ultimately worthless things this world offers. It produces stability, peace, confidence in dangerous and difficult circumstances. It produces divine favor, which results in divine help. You're not going to get these benefits from any other book. The third main theme of Psalm 119, the ways we are to interact with the Word of God. To properly interact with the Word of God, we must have a personal relationship with the living God based on faith. It's not enough to just read the Word of God. The fallen angels are very familiar with the Word of God. When Satan was tempting the Messiah, he kept quoting the scriptures. The fallen angels are familiar with the Word of God. There are scholars of theology or New Testament studies who are very familiar with the Word of God, yet are very far from God and salvation. The Word of God must be combined with faith that results in a personal relationship to the living God. Verse 57, Lord, you are mine. I promise to obey your words. Verse 94, I am yours. Rescue me, for I have worked hard at obeying your commandments. 55, I reflect at night on who you are, O Lord. Therefore, I obey your instructions. 120, I tremble in fear of you. I stand in awe of your regulations. 124, I am your servant. Deal with me in love and teach me your decrees. These verses describe a man, a woman who has a relationship with the living God. The Lord belongs to him. He belongs to the Lord. Lord, you are mine, and I'm yours. He's the Lord's servant. He serves the Lord. He knows the Lord. He thinks about God. He fears God, serves God. Do not expect to experience the blessings that come from interacting with the Word of God without a close, personal, intimate relationship with a three-in-one God based on having real, genuine faith. To properly relate to the Word of God, we must read it and think about it every day. In this fallen and demonically influenced world, it is easy to lose our connection to the Word of God. We must not allow that to happen. Verse 15, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Verse 97, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. 117. Sustain me, and I will be rescued. Then I will meditate continually on your decrees. The Word of God must be our constant companion, our best friend. We must discipline ourselves so that we read it every day and then think about it throughout the day. To relate properly to the Word of God, we must read it and think about it every day. To properly relate to the Word of God, we must practice it carefully and consistently. Verse 4, you have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. 5, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. 34, give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Interacting with the Word of God must be different from the way we interact with all other sources of information. This must be our main source of information. We must not settle for casual interaction with the Word of God. We must keep it, obey it, practice it carefully, diligently, consistently. To properly interact with the Word of God, we must love it. 16, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. 47, how I delight in your commands, how I love them. 111, your laws are my treasure, they are my heart's delight. Here's a good one for me, verse 127. Truly, I love your commands more than gold, even the finest gold. The finest gold is so rare, so precious, so beautiful, so valuable. The Word of God must be even more our greatest treasure, our joy, our delight, our love. Must be our sun and moon, our bread and butter, the air we breathe, the water we drink. If you don't have this kind of love for the Word of God, ask God to give you that kind of love for His Word. To relate properly to the Word of God, we need God's help to understand it. Verse 18, open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I love that one. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. 27, help me understand the meaning of your commandments. And I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. 33, teach me your decrees, O Lord. I will keep them to the end. 64, O Lord, your love fills the earth. Teach me your decrees. 124, I'm your servant. Deal with me in love and teach me your decrees. 125, give discernment to me, your servant. Then I will understand your laws. We don't just sit down and open the Bible and begin reading it. Before we interact with the Word of God, we pray. We ask the Lord to help us understand His Word. We ask the Lord to teach us, to guide us into all truth. We ask the Lord to be our rabbi, our teacher. Speaking of interacting properly with the Word of God, we should praise and thank God for His Word. God is so great, and He is so good, and He has done, is doing, and will do so much for us. And one of the very best things He has done for us is give us His Word, which benefits us in so many ways. Not only has He given us His Word, He is our teacher who helps us understand His Word. Because of this, we should praise and thank Him a lot. Verse 62, I rise at midnight to thank you for your just regulations. 164, I will praise you 7 times a day because all your regulations are just. 171, let praise flow from my lips, for you have taught me your decrees. And when we praise and thank the Lord, we get closer to Him, which is a very good thing. You want to thank and praise the Lord for everything you should? You want to get closer to God? Praise and thank Him for His Word and that He teaches you His Word. The fourth main theme of Psalm 119. To relate properly to the Word of God, our Heavenly Father might allow us to suffer. If you don't want to hear this part, you can, you know, like cover your ears. Verse 67, I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. Verse 71, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your regulations are fair. You disciplined me because I needed it. Because God's word is so important, so necessary for us, so beneficial for us, if we are not interacting with it the way we should, if we're not taking it seriously enough, if we're not reading it, thinking about it, practicing it carefully, God may discipline us. He may allow us to suffer with the goal that we will interact with the Word of God the way we should, which, of course, is to our ultimate good. So if that happens, God's disciplining you, you're suffering, that's a good thing. If that happens, don't get angry with God. Don't resent Him. Understand what He is trying to do with you, and then cooperate. You will be blessed if you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's amazing. It's so true, so valuable, so beneficial. May it influence our thoughts and actions and values and priorities. Lord, teach us your word. Help us love it, treasure it, learn it, master it, carefully and consistently practice it, read it and think about it every day. May it be our constant companion, our ally, our best friend. Amen.